The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
The network children ask for by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
It's Monday in America, and you are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, JM Bell's The Left Show.
You know who the best looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, JM Bell.
JM Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, hey, buddy.
Hey.
Happy Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on the internet singing to you?
Lots of things, but unfortunately my wallet's turning a deaf ear for the rest of the week because I don't get paid until the end of the week, so fuck that. No Cyber Monday for me.
No, same. I mean, just because the siren sings doesn't mean I got to dive in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's lots of cool shit today.
Yep.
Ooh, there's even some podcast stuff. What is that all about? What do we got here? This is the El Gato. Premium studio quality USB El Gato. It's a microphone. That's very pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all. I don't know.
I was like, baby's first podcasting kit? Is that what we're seeing today?
I think that one was a little more expensive than that. But yeah, deals inspired by your recent history. Microphone, 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 HDMI camera that hooks into your computer, and shelving. That seems to be it. That seems to be what I look at on the Amazon.
I've got walking shoes.
Yeah.
Popped up as my first deal on the Amazon. And I need a pair because my feet just, and I have to get them used to a pair of shoes, and then I have to break my feet into a pair of shoes, and then they're fine. They're fine. Yeah. Let's see. I got an Anker Power Core, a Philips Norelco body groomer.
Okay. Shaver. Very nice. To keep your body shaven. Very nice.
The VenturePal 35-liter ultralight, lightweight, backpackable, foldable, travel, camping, hiking, outdoor sports backpack and day pack. That's a lot of words for something.
It is a lot of words. That's almost as many words as the El Gato.
Mm-hmm.
El Gato.
The Joy Tutu's pickup truck tent.
Those are neat, aren't they?
They are. I just don't have a pickup truck for said pickup truck tent.
That's fair. Yeah. I wonder if it's an a light install that you could do on a rental.
Mm-hmm. They've got the instant cabin tent, 6-person camping tent set up in 60 seconds with Rainfly. Not so much for me right now. We have a very specific thing we're thinking we're going to buy for our next family camp tent.
Yeah.
That honestly is just for me and Michelle and our cots to sit in.
Is it a yurt? I have a yurt.
Yeah, we're looking at a... it's basically a spring bar, but it's the Kodiak tent.
Okay.
Which is a canvas spring bar tent. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of camping gear. Some New Balance shoes.
I got beard wash.
I need some New Balance shoes. That's for sure.
Yeah, you got to get some white ones so you can get that crisp grass stain when you mow.
That's right. That's right.
Be a suburban dad.
Honestly, I'm going to wear them down to nothing. I mean, that's how it works for me. I just tear through shoes. So it's like I have to, they can't be so overpriced. Like these New Balance 877s are $65 to $99, even with the 4-star savings on it. So, yeah. I guess it would depend on the size I take. So let's go grab my size. And it says it will now be an unknown rate. An unknown price.
So, House lawmakers this last week, launched a bipartisan caucus called the Bipartisan Psychedelics Caucus. Two House lawmakers have joined to form a bipartisan caucus to advocate for research into the therapeutic potential of psychedelic drugs.
I am now running for Congress.
Yeah, test me first.
I will happily join the caucus to test everything out and make sure it's safe for everybody else.
The caucus is co-chaired by California Democratic Representative Lou Correa, spelled with a C, not a K.
Of course, he's one of them California liberals.
Yeah. And Representative Jack Bergman, a Republican from Michigan, who's also a retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Semper Fi. The new bipartisan caucus will advocate for research into psychedelics, including psilocybin and MDMA, which have shown great promise as potential treatments for a range of mental health conditions, including anxiety, treatment-resistant depression, addiction, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Bergman said in a statement, you know what? If my voice wasn't off today, I would totally Arlie Ermy this, but I can't. I don't have it in the pipes, and we got a lot of show left to record. But he says, having served our nation as a member of the United States military and in Congress, I've seen the destruction post-traumatic stress disorder can cause my fellow veterans and their families. Our job is to find solutions to these problems, and if psychedelic-assisted therapy can help treat or even fully cure someone of their PTSD, we need to take a closer look at these potential life-saving therapies. Well, good. I like that.
You, sir, may now keep your office, at least for the moment, because thank you for looking after somebody instead of just looking after yourself like most Republicans do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh. Korea and Bergman announced the creation of the PACT caucus on the same day that Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey and Senator Rand Paul, all right, Republican from Kentucky, announced that they had introduced legislation that would require the Drug Enforcement Agency to reclassify breakthrough therapies such as the psychedelic psilocybin and MDMA. The bill, known as the Breakthrough Therapies Act, is designed to ease psychedelic drugs for patients and streamline further research into the compounds. Booker was heard to say, recent studies suggest that some Schedule I substances, such as MDMA and psilocybin, could represent an enormous advancement for the treatment of severe post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and addiction. Unfortunately, regulatory red tape and a series of bureaucratic hurdles involved in studying Schedule I substances impedes critical research on these and other promising Schedule I compounds. This bill reduces these unreasonably burdensome rules and regulations that delay or prevent researchers from studying and patients from accessing this entire class of potential medicines. Cory Booker. This almost lets me forgive him. For dating Rosario Dawson.
There you go.
Almost. Not quite.
Almost.
You know, I'm not saying I have a shot with Rosario Dawson. I'm not, because I don't. I absolutely don't. I do not. But a man can dream.
That's right.
A man like myself does not dream of whoever is dating Cory Booker. Because I like him, you know? That's all. He cries a little too much for me, but it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
Representative Jim Jordan.
Who also has no shot whatsoever with Rosario Dawson.
Also true. I have a better shot with Rosario Dawson than Jim Jordan.
That's right.
Has threatened to investigate special counsel Jack Smith after Smith was appointed to lead an investigation into former President Trump's misuse of government documents and his effort to subvert the 2020 presidential election. During an interview with Jordan on Fox News, host Maria Batriomo, who used to be a person, you know, and before she turned into this weird Fox News thing, anyway, Bartiromo wondered why Attorney General Merrick Garland had not also appointed a special counsel to look into President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Well, Jeff says, that's me. He's not a member of the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't look into family members of the government. We look into government. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were part of the government, absolutely somebody should look into it. You know,
you can look into Hunter Biden all you want. What you're supposed to be looking into, dumbass, is whether or not his dad had anything to do with him getting the position he got that you think he was corrupt in.
Yeah.
That's, and guess what? He was somewhat, but not in any way that was significant. It was his, he had the name Biden.
Yeah.
I don't even think Joe put in a phone call for his son.
Would he probably have to.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have to. And the whole thing is like, it's just such nonsense. And it's the next 2 years, Benghazi all over again.
Well, yep. Said Jim Jordan. Well, while I'm not paying attention to young men being raped in the wrestling program.
Yep.
I think it's just one more example of how political the Justice Department has become. I may have paraphrased there a little bit. Just at the beginning.
I think you were giving a subtext there.
Yeah. Jordan took aim at Smith because he's had discussions about opening investigations into conservative nonprofits during Barack Obama's term. The investigation never moved forward. This was religious organizations and political organizations pretending to be nonprofits. I don't know if you remember this or not. Pretending to be nonprofits to get a tax exempt status, even though they were not nonprofits. And the Obama administration's IRS was going to look into it, and Republicans had a fucking tizzy fit and slammed the investigation shut before anybody had a chance to look.
And then as quick as he could, Trump defunded the IRS so that they don't have the agents to even look into, you know, obvious tax cheats, you know.
Yeah, let's see. Jordan pointed the investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election as evidence of a broad pattern of political investigations. Quote, they suppressed the Hunter Biden story just days before the most important election we have. And in 2022, 91 days before the midterm election, they raided Trump's home. And then this week, 3 days after Trump announces he's running for president, guess what? Merrick Garland says we're going to put in as the special counsel the very individual who was at the Justice Department and was looking at ways to prosecute the people Lois Lerner and Obama's IRS targeted. If that's not a political Justice Department, I don't know what is. I don't know. Look at Trump's Justice Department, maybe. So he says we're going to look at this issue and we're going to get to the bottom of everything they've been doing at the politicized Department of Justice.
I see. So they suppressed an investigation of Hunter Biden that your side was pushing for because it would discredit Joe Biden the same way Benghazi discredited Hillary Clinton in your mind. They dismissed it because there's nothing there. And then they've just been doing ongoing investigations into Trump and his illegal dealings since he became president.
Yeah. You don't get to run off with nuclear secrets. You don't get to. So anyway,
you don't get to violate a law that you fucking signed and get away with it.
Jack Smith, the special counsel. Former top Mueller prosecutor Andrew Weissman tweeted, "I was described by Steve Bannon as a pit bull. Jack Smith makes me look like a golden retriever puppy." Journalist James Risen wrote a column in which the quote, "Jack Smith came after me. If he goes after Donald Trump with the same unrelenting ferocity, Trump will be in trouble." Garland appointed Smith to avoid the perception of a conflict of interest after Trump declared his candidacy But that hasn't stopped Republicans from accusing the registered independent of being a secret liberal. Of course, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's on brand.
Yeah. Senator Ted Cruz, Representative Elise Stefanik, and Jim Jordan are among those who have sought to discredit Smith's appointment, branding it as the latest example of politicalization under the President Biden administration. Smith is a widely respected veteran federal prosecutor, was tapped by Attorney General Merrick Garland to take over two of the most explosive investigations involving a former president in modern history. The first is the Justice Department's sweeping probe into Trump's efforts to interfere with the lawful transfer of power after the 2020 election, including the scheme to certify false slates of electors on January 6th. The second is examining whether Trump illegally retained classified documents at Mar-a-Lago and obstructed the government's efforts to get them back. Mm-hmm. I think I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I do. AOC has responded to Elon Musk's poll to reinstate Trump onto Twitter, saying the last time he was here, this platform was used to incite an insurrection. Elon Musk issued a Twitter poll asking if Donald Trump's account should be reinstated. Trump was permanently suspended from the platform following the Capitol insurrection. AOC issued a reminder about the last time Trump was on when he used it to incite an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I don't know, man. Last time he was here, this platform was used to incite an insurrection. Multiple people died. The vice president of the United States was nearly assassinated. Hundreds were injured, but I guess that's not enough for you to answer the question. Twitter poll, is it? She says, review their extensive work and ask yourself why a billionaire is toying with bringing back the person responsible for this. Yep. Some 948 people have been criminally charged in the insurrection. 450 have pled guilty. Several rioters and their attorneys blame Trump for their involvement, saying the former president asked us to go to the march on the 6th. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do like Ocasio-Cortez, and she is very good at articulately pointing out the obvious.
Yes.
Which is one of the things I like about her. Okay. We're up against the wall. Let's take a quick break. And we get back on the other side. We're going to talk about the right wing for a few minutes.
Simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the trucks. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
I'm trying to think of a transition into this fucking article we're about to do, and I don't have it. It's problematic. It's very problematic. There are people in the Republican Party taking advantage of what is basically, you know, an elder man with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, they are.
Yeah. He happens to be African American. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the people that are running around taking advantage of him are all white. There was a picture this week, you may have seen, of Herschel Walker. On one side was Ted Cruz, on the other side was Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
You know, and they were speaking for him and putting words in his mouth. He just wants to be a werewolf. This politics stuff is just getting in the way of that, right?
I know. It's totally interrupting his werewolf world that he wants to live in.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, a CNN guest slammed Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker for releasing an ad targeting teen transgender athletes hours after a gunman murdered five people at the club in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
After host Don Lemon played a clip of the Walker ad, he brought on Los Angeles Times columnist LZ Granderson to discuss the poor timing in the wake of the deadly attack on the LGBTQ community in Colorado. Granderson started out by noting that it was strange to see Walker spending time talking about transgender athletes when polls show voters are most concerned about issues such as the cost of living. To quote, "I'm confused because you look at exit polls, the issues that are on voters' minds, number one, obviously, is the economy. Mm-hmm. How do you put food on the table? Paying for gas, inflation. Number two is abortion. Following down that are issues regarding security, safety, education. I did not see very many voters stress confusion or anxiety regarding trans athletes competing in sports." Well, it's a dog whistle.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're trying to get your base out for this runoff election next week. Fuck, is that next week? That is next week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Today is the 27th. They do that on the 6th. Yeah, that's next Tuesday. Yeesh. I gotta volunteer to do some phone banking. That's what I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
Granderson then suggested the ad is a sign that Walker has little else to run on against Raphael Warnock. This seems to be a manufactured issue from Walker, who had nowhere else to turn because he has no credibility discussing the economy because we understand his business dealings. He's surrounded by controversy regarding abortion. Where else is he going to turn? Hate. And that's what this ad is. Hate.
It's stirring up a boogeyman that doesn't exist. Because that's what they run on. You have to have an enemy. You have to point to an enemy and say, we will protect you from this enemy if you vote us into office. And this is just part of the tactic. And the fact is releasing it the day of a shooting or the day after a shooting that involved transgender and LGBTQ people. I don't think it was an accident. I think it was strategic. They can claim, oh, we were unaware that was going to happen. No, it was strategic. You dropped it on that day because it's on everyone's mind.
Well, the thing happened, the shooting happened, mm-hmm. at which point you can go, wait, don't drop that commercial right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got several hours. But when you consider the type of people that would take advantage, you know, of a special needs man.
Yep.
For political purposes, they're not the ones that would think that it would be in poor taste to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no illusions that Herschel Walker is at all in charge of when his campaign drops things,
yep.
what kind of ads they make or any of that stuff. That's entirely everyone else that's running his campaign. You know, they're bringing in these guys like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham to sit next to him and look like the worst version of Trading Places I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good meme.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what it is. It's like, what is this? He is just letting everyone run it for him because he's incapable of doing that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He could throw money at somebody who's really good at it, and that got him all the support he wanted, you know, from Donald Trump, from everyone else, Lindsey Graham, everybody. Yeah.
It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So, according to CNN, who did a little digging, Herschel Walker isn't even a resident of Georgia because he's been claiming a house in Texas as his primary residence for a tax write-off. This break only applies if the home in Texas is your principal residence.
Yes.
CNN first reported Wednesday that Walker reportedly took the tax exemption in both 2021 and 2022. After launching his Georgia Senate bid. As CNN noted, claiming the roughly $1,500 in savings in Texas is potentially running afoul of both Texas tax rules and some Georgia rules on establishing residency for the purpose of voting or running for office. To run for office and vote in Georgia, 15 rules, not all of which need to be met, are considered for establishing residency, which include where the resident takes their homestead tax exemption, where they intend to live permanently. U.S. Constitution only requires a potential senator to be an inhabitant of the state when elected. In Texas, meanwhile, homeowners who move away can continue receiving a homestead tax break if they don't establish principal residence elsewhere and plan to move back to the state within 2 years. Walker campaign did not respond to a request for comment. All for the sake of getting a $1,500 tax break. He's willing to risk his eligibility for the Senate.
Again, not something he is even aware is possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm certain of it. And yeah, well, I mean, it's called carpetbagging, and it's been in existence for a long time. Hell, we have a permanent Senate seat here in Utah. We've decided is the carpetbagger seat because the last two guys who've held it, we're not residents of Utah.
No, they're from out of town.
Exactly. So, yeah, why would you?
We got Pennsylvania and Massachusetts as our senators. It's nuts. It for those of you that aren't paying attention, we're talking about Mitt Romney and Orrin Hatch.
Orrin Hatch. Stormin' Orrin.
The great, he's late, Orrin Hatch. So we talked in the first segment about the president having access to his Twitter account now. He can log on and he can tweet. He was forced, apparently, by the board of Truth Social, the story goes, to sign a non-compete agreement saying that he would only use Truth Social. And not Twitter. So this is just Elon Musk being an asshole. And speaking of Elon Musk being an asshole, Elon Musk's Twitter restored Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal Twitter account.
She used to spread disinformation about COVID-19.
Yep.
And COVID-19 vaccines, and got her banned from Twitter for doing so. Yeah.
Yep, she was booted from the website in early January after her fifth suspension, which triggered her permanent removal in line with Twitter's COVID-19 misinformation policy. She did not immediately tweet from her reinstated profile on Monday, but acknowledged the decision on her congressional Twitter account, attacking unelected big tech oligarchs for her removal. On January 2nd, 2022, she said, "They violated my freedom of speech and ability to campaign and fundraise, crying COVID misinformation. My account is back." No, they did not violate your freedom of speech, because your freedom of speech only protects you from the government slapping you down and telling you you can't talk. Yeah.
And it has been ruled that censorship is a form of freedom of speech. It was ruled by that in a as one of the circuit courts. I can't remember which one, but yeah.
So Trump had dinner and a nice long chat with a couple of anti-Semites Mm-hmm. Formerly known as Kanye West, Yee, and white nationalist, racist, misogynist, anti-religious freedom, unless you're his religion, white nationalist Nick Fuentes at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday night. It matters because Trump's direct engagement with a man labeled a white supremacist by the Justice Department 1 week after declaring his 2024 candidacy is likely to draw renewed outrage over the former president's embrace of extremists.
Well, he needs a new chief of staff. He's probably not going to bring back his former chief of staff, who is also a white supremacist. So why not bring in a new chief of staff?
Yep. Yeah.
Fuentes. I need somebody fresh in here. Yeah, bring in somebody fresh.
Give me a new sheet. Fuentes, who frequently promotes racist and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, had been spotted with Yee at Mar-a-Lago, but reports erroneously suggested he didn't have dinner with the president when, in fact, he did.
Mm-hmm.
What the former president's people are saying is Kanye West very much wanted to visit Mar-a-Lago. Our dinner meeting was intended to be Kanye and me only, but he arrived with a guest whom I had never met and knew nothing about, Trump said in a statement.
Of course.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. A Trump spokesman did not provide comment on additional reporting about the dinner. Fuentes did not immediately respond to requests for comment. White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates put out a statement saying bigotry, hate, and anti-Semitism have absolutely no place in America, including at Mar-a-Lago. Holocaust denial is repugnant and dangerous, and it must be forcefully condemned. The President of the United States, Joseph Rosinette Biden, was yelled at by a reporter saying, "What do you think? What do you think about him having dinner with Nick Fuentes?" To which Biden said, and I quote, "You don't want to know what I think." To which I said, and I quote, "Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do very much, as a matter of fact, because I think it'll be funny, and I don't think he's going to use a word like malarkey."
Nope.
A source familiar with the dinner conversation told Axios that Trump seemed very taken with Fuentes, impressed that the 24-year-old was able to rattle off statistics and recall speeches dating back to his 2016 campaign. Paraphrasing the conversation.
He kissed Trump's orange ass, and that was all he needed, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing the conversation, the source said Fuentes told the president he preferred him to be authentic and that Trump seemed scripted and unlike himself during his campaign announcement. Mm-hmm. Trump responded, "You like it better when I just speak off the cuff." Fuentes replied that he did, calling Trump an amazing president when he was unrestrained. There was a lot of fawning back and forth.
Aww.
A lot of fawning.
He knew exactly what buttons to push on Donnie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So, first, Trump said, "This past week, Kanye West called me to have dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Shortly thereafter, he unexpectedly showed up with three of his friends, whom I knew nothing about. We had dinner on Tuesday evening with many members present on the back patio. The dinner was quick and uneventful. Then they left for the airport." Then he said, "Joe Biden said he's running for president, so why isn't he appointing a special counsel to look into the criminal actions of him and his son, Hunter? There's never been anything like it in the history of our country, and amazingly, it is perfectly documented for all to see. Maybe Trump hater Jack Smith, who should never have been allowed to work on anything having to do with me because of his and his family's anger, hatred, and bias, should be looking into the Biden crime family instead." Then
the Delaware Mafia.
Yeah. Then in another statement, Trump said, "Yee, formerly known as Kanye West, was asking me for advice concerning some of his difficulties, in particularly having to do with his business. We also discussed, to a lesser extent, politics, where I told him he should definitely not run for president. Quote, any voters you may have should vote for Trump. Anyway, we got along great, and he expressed no anti-Semitism, and I appreciated all the nice things he said about me on Tucker Carlson. Why wouldn't I agree to meet? Also, I don't know Nick Fuentes. Remember when he said he didn't know David Duke?
Yep.
Everybody knows fucking David Duke.
Or those two Russian guys.
Yeah.
Remember those two fuckers? He's like, I don't know them. And there's photos of them standing with him.
Yep. All right, let's take another break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about life in America for a minute, by which I mean gun violence.
Yeah.
My pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Jean-Marie Straub, Nikki Acox, Vic Carabata, and Irene Cara. Tom Holland and Zendaya have plans. A Billy Connolly-inspired stage show will tour in Scotland. Immoving Pictures, Iger is back at Disney, and Chapek is out.
I'm so confused by all of this.
Jan Demange is the new Blade director. Dune, the Sisterhood, lost its show creator.
When pants travel.
Pants travel.
In comics, Ryan Otley is writer and artist for the Hulk.
I think he'll smash it.
Smash it.
Archie's Betty is a final girl. Star Trek is getting a crossover event.
With Star Trek.
Star Trek with Star Trek.
We review Nightwing, Wolverine, Daredevil, Miracle Man, Bloodstone, and Once Upon a Time at the End of the World. All this and the mystery of the Bulge. Face Front, true believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
So instead of this being an introduction of mutants to the MCU, his mutation was basically little wings on his feet and a gigantic mister.
Yes.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, last week, we talked about the shooting in Colorado Springs. The mass casualty event, I think they call them now. And yes. We didn't have a lot of information at the time. We did know that somebody or somebodies tackled the piece of shit that did the shooting.
Gunman. Yep.
And that he was beaten up a bit because he was still in the hospital. Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah. We know now, and I say that like that because I honestly, I don't remember how much info we had when we recorded last week.
We didn't have any of this.
Yeah. Richard Fierro, decorated Army veteran who was at the LGBTQ plus nightclub in Colorado Springs last Saturday night when a gunman opened fire, has recalled how he worked with other patrons to stop the shooter from killing more people. The interview I saw, he said he ran up behind him, grabbed him by the back handle of his body armor, which he called cheap ass body armor.
Yep.
And yanked him down, at which point he dropped the long arm and jumped on top of him, at which point he tried to pull his short arm.
His pistol.
Yeah. And that got handled somehow.
Fierro basically did a stop hitting yourself with the guy's pistol.
Yeah, took it away and pistol whipped the shit out of him.
The first hit, the guy was still holding the pistol, and then he let go of it. So then he picked up the pistol and started pistol whipping him with it. Yeah. He got pistol whipped pretty hard with it. And he was beating on the guy pretty hard. I love the image of him just walking up behind the guy, grabbing him by that handle on his body armor, which shouldn't be there unless, you know, it's garbage, and yanking him to the floor. I just think that is just such a comedic image in my head.
Well, the handles are there so that if you're injured in combat, there's somewhere for your buddies to grab and drag.
Right.
So the handle's there on purpose. But in this one, it was a great handle for him to grab, drag him to the floor, take away his weapons, and beat the fuck out of you with them. Mm-hmm. They say that when you go to commit gun violence, the person most likely to be hurt is you.
Uh-huh.
Ta-da! Anyway, in a news conference from his home, Fierro and his wife, Jessica, described how he charged across the room, pulled the gunman to the ground from behind, beat him with his own weapon. I just went into combat mode, Fierro said. I just know I have to kill this guy before he kills us. Fierro, veteran of four combat tours of Afghanistan and Iraq, former platoon leader, said he started shouting orders to a young man who had stopped nearby to help. Fierro had grabbed the gunman's pistol and was beating him with it while directing the young man to move the rifle. I said, kick him, move the AR. And then I just started hitting him. But he was an armor plate, so I started hitting him wherever there was skin, which would be his head.
Yep.
When the man helping him grew tired, Fierro said he flagged down a person in high heels and started shouting, kick him! She kicked him because the other guy was tired, Fierro said. The drag queen who was performing at Club Q Saturday night, Delusional, later tweeted to clarify that the person who helped Fierro was a transgender woman, not a drag queen, as Fierro had initially described her.
Yeah, that was the piece of disinformation that got corrected. I forgot it got corrected in this article.
Yep. The one who saved my life and stomped the shooter's face was not a drag queen. She was a trans woman. Mm-hmm. So the performer noted that Fierro was likely unaware of this when he shared his account. Right. But now that we know it, let's correct it. Great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, Fierro was there with his wife, his daughter, and her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was one of the victims of the shooter.
Yeah. Raymond Green Vance.
When the police came in, there's Fierro holding a pistol. So, they naturally hauled him outside and put him in a car. But they immediately had everyone saying, no, he saved us. He stopped it. And yet what kept him in the car. Meanwhile, Fierro's screaming out the window or screaming out of the car saying, let me out. I need to see if my family's okay. I need to check on my family. He's screaming this. And they finally let him out after however long, because, you know, no good deed goes unpunished when the police are around. So, yeah. I understood their initial reaction. But once everyone said, no, he's not the one. He saved my ass. He saved our asses. Then they should have been like, okay, well, Let's hold him for questioning, but let him take care of what he needs to take care of.
Something.
My hell. Yeah.
Something.
Something different than locking him in a squad car, that's for sure.
Yeah. Little racial profiling there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Not the guy in body armor on the floor. If you could see the body armor. I don't know. I saw the picture of the guy during his arraignment. And he still looked pretty fucked up.
Yeah, he is covered in bruises from, you know, pistol whipping and high heel shoes, basically.
Yep.
And yeah.
Good.
He's honest. Honestly, he is lucky that Fierro, in combat mode, did just blow his head off with the pistol he took away from him. Because that's really what you're trained to do. I mean, as a soldier, you're trained. No, if you can get their weapon away, kill them. Period. And he chose instead to show restraint and just beat the shit out of the guy instead of shooting him, blowing his head off, blowing his brains out, which, yeah. I don't know that I could have stopped myself from blowing his brains out in that situation, but yeah.
No, that would have been easier. So that's probably the direction I would have gone too.
Yeah.
You know, I have been around guns in situations, you know, when I was working at the bars, when I was a bouncer, and I remember this is why what I'm saying, the way this direction is going is I'd like to think that I would do the same, you know, that I would run and tackle and that I would do it. We had a guy come in one night and one of the off-duty cops that was working with us was sitting next to me. And it was one of the bouncers, Dan. Wiley and me, and Wiley and I were kind of behind the partition, and this dude comes in with a gun, with a handgun, points it at us, and tells us to give him the money. We'd been collecting, you know, cover charges there.
Yeah,
at the
door
front.
Cover. Yeah.
And he was standing pretty close, so I reached out, grabbed the barrel of the gun, putting my thumb behind the hammer, and said, and I quote, this is my tough guy line, you ready? Yoink! And took his gun away.
Yep.
At which point he ran off. And I remember the off-duty cop looking over at me as I'm looking at this little handgun. And he's like, fucking yoink. And I'm like, what? He's like, you just said yoink. I'm like, oh, well, there it is.
It was the most intimidating thing you could have done to that guy.
Yep. Yoink.
I'm taking away your penis right here.
Yoink.
I thoroughly believe I would have walked. I would have. Done what he did with pulling the guy down by the back from his body armor, because I know how to do that move, and strip the gun at the same time. So yeah, I would have been able to do that, and I would have done that. But yeah, I don't know. If he'd drawn his pistol on me, I don't know that I would have. I don't know what I would have done once he drew his pistol. I'd gotten it away from him.
Yeah,
yeah. I would hope that I would show restraint and hold him there. But yeah.
Yeah, I got a feeling I would headbutt more than I would pistol whip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
If I got his pistol away and determined he didn't have any other additional weaponry that would could be a problem, I might just back up a little bit and go, he's all yours, guys.
Oh, yeah, like an Iron Man.
Yeah, and let him just have at him.
Yeah. So Colorado Republican Representative Lauren Boebert... Can't imagine why anybody would point fingers at her after a gunman opened a fire.
What?
In the nightclub.
What?
Just because she has a well-documented history of vilifying the queer community and also failing to compromise on gun safety. Well, it seems like people are mad at her.
So she's the real victim here.
Yep, according to Lauren Boebert is the real victim in all this. She says, quote, I've been accused of just about every mass shooting there has been. I've been blamed for all of it. It has to come to an end. The left is pissed I won my election, and they're trying to find something to go after me about.
Oh, we had this to go after you about before you won your election.
Yeah, we don't have to find things to go after
There's
you
nothing
about.
To go. We don't have to look for anything, Lauren. You are a walking, talking epitome of everything that's wrong in this country.
Yep. Many of Boebert's posts have targeted trans people, drag queens, whom she is accused of grooming, because that's what Republicans do now, accuse all gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah. I just, oh, I hate her. I do, and hate's a big word. It's a big, powerful word, and I really do hate her. But as much as I hate her, there's someone else I hate more this week.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna Ellis. Unemployed, unemployable former Trump lawyer, stated that the real tragedy wasn't that five people were gunned down in cold blood, but that she doesn't think they were Christians, and thus their souls are eternally damned.
She literally said, this is the story they should be covering.
Yeah.
In her little tirade. And I was like, this fucking country and this Christian nationalism that is starting to sweep the nation needs to be nipped in the bud as fast as it can. And it's beyond budding right now. It needs to be knocked out before it turns into a major weed problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
It is. I'm thinking about whether or not to play the sound. Yeah, let's do it. It's better to know than not know.
The five people who were killed in the nightclub that night, there is no evidence at all that they were Christians. And so assuming right. that they were not, that they had not accepted the truth of the gospel of Christ and affirmed Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, they are now reaping the consequences of having eternal damnation. And that is far, far greater. And we should be having that conversation instead yes. of just the tragedy of what happened to the body. We need to be talking about what happened to the soul and the fact that they are now in eternal separation from our Lord yes. and Savior, Jesus Christ.
To which Jesus Christ said, Jesus H me, who the fuck are you?
You know, who'll be separated from Jesus in the next life.
Yeah.
Jenna Ellis.
Yeah.
Cause that ain't the Jesus I know. Yeah. This whole thing of born again Christian nationalism is, well, first of all, it doesn't make any sense in any way, shape, or form. It's certainly not in the Bible beyond just one passage that says, I am the way to heaven. Everything they've got in there, it's just, frankly, it's a violation of the first commandment. You're taking the Lord's name in vain by saying, this is what it's meant. This is what it's intended. This is what he meant.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this in his name. And her saying this shit, oh man, I'm like, so we should be talking about that more than we should be talking about a murder with an assault weapon. Again, a mass murder, a mass shooting with an assault weapon.
So in a very shocking video, Aaron Brink, father of the Colorado Springs shooter. wow. I mean,
this meth, guy's a piece of work.
Meth much?
Yeah.
And you know what? This is the video you'll be able to hear of him finding out that his son murdered people.
There was a shooting involving, you know, multiple people, right. And then I'm going to find it at a gay bar.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh my God, is he gay? As a scare, oh my God, is he gay? And he's not gay, so it's like this.
Well, you guys had conversations about that. You were.
Oh yeah,
you were adamant that gay is bad.
I'm a Mormon. I'm a conservative Republican. And we don't do gay. We don't do gay.
Yeah.
I can't get answers from the attorneys, really, but they're saying that somebody's, you know, it's involving a gay bar or some shit. I don't know. I don't know what the heck you do if you have a gay bar. I don't know what to do.
Well, he's accused of going on a mass shooting at a gay bar and killing five people.
Colorado.
Okay, well, that's shit. If he's accused of doing that, he's not gay. I can say that, but he's not gay.
Wow. So
he has said out loud what 1,000 different conservative uber Christian or Mormon fathers would have said in that situation. Oh, good. He's not gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it out loud.
So Aaron Brink, father of the Colorado Springs shooter,
mm-hmm.
Has been on multiple United States television programs talking about his drug addiction and his time as an adult film star. Aaron Brink has gone viral for a shock interview that we just played,
mm-hmm.
Where he claimed he praised his son for being violent growing up. Appeared more concerned that his kid was at a gay bar than he was accused of murdering five people. The show was called Intervention. And the show was there to have people face up to and attempt to beat their addiction, with Brink's episode seeing him admit to being addicted to meth, porn, and sex. In the episode, it is explained that Brink, who was an MMA fighter and then turned to adult films, lost both careers due to his addictions, and at the time was taking crystal meth and masturbating, quote, up to 12 hours a day, end quote.
That's a lot.
I can't do that. So I guess I'm okay.
That's some serious chafage right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's your lotion budget?
And the fact is that, you know, here he is over here going, oh, I'm glad he's not gay. It's like, well, no wonder he didn't have time to be a father. He's too busy jacking off 12 hours a day.
Yep. Yeah. So
somebody had found a photo of it. It wasn't just intervention. He was on an episode of Divorce Court.
Yep.
With his ex-wife.
Next paragraph. His wife, Vanessa, talked about running out of options as she tried to deal with his addictions through the episode. Several years later, the pair ended up on another television show, Divorce Court. That episode saw Vanessa tell Judge Lynn Toller how his addictions had impacted her life, including him taking her credit card to buy crystal meth. Brink admitted at the time that his drug addiction was the downfall to their four-year marriage. However, he insisted at the time that he was sober. During the shocking interview with CBS8, Brink said he had only recently learned his son was alive, having allegedly been told he'd died by suicide in 2016.
Hmm.
Like sand through the hourglass. Yeah. Upon learning his son was accused of murdering five people at a gay bar, he responded, but at least he's not gay. I'm a Mormon. I'm a conservative Christian. And we just don't do gay.
But we do meth.
It's a shitload of meth.
Shitload of meth.
And porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just been startling to me, though, you know, how many people that work in porn are Republican?
Yeah.
It's nuts. I don't get it. These are the people that keep trying to put you out of business, and you keep voting for them like it means something. It's just weird as shit is what it is. Never understood that. You know, and that's... You lost a fan. Some of you. Sky Lopez, Republican.
Yeah.
You know?
I get... I sometimes get Republican if you're... Like, well, why do I have to give all my money to the government? And I'm like, I feel the same way as a Democrat.
Oh, sure.
And a liberal. But mine is, if I've got to give all this money away, why am I giving it away so they can just misuse it? Shouldn't I be getting something out of this? And I get nothing out of it.
Targeted taxation.
Yeah.
Is what I like the idea of.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to point at a thing. And say, you may use my tax dollars for XXX, but not ZZZ.
Well, opt-in Medicare, you know, let me opt-in Medicaid. I'm paying the tax for it anyway. Let me opt in by paying a little more. Yeah. And I opt in and I'm now covered under it. And even if it's not the best in the world, even if it's not going to cover me for every little thing, at least I have some health insurance coverage that I can opt into. And my tax dollars are going to something I'm going to use.
It'll be fun.
And not something that I'm not going to use. I'm not, you know, something like defense that I've wondered about our defense budget for a long time. Because I think about back in 20 years ago, back in 2002, and they take us into war in Iraq. And you actually hear, was it Ashcroft was the Secretary of Defense?
Yeah.
Or was it? Yeah. And he said he got, you know,
no,
all these
not Ashcroft.
It was a different guy, Rumsfeld. And he said when they asked about, you know, how the soldiers lacked body armor and everything, he's like, well, you don't go to war with the army you want. You go to war with the army you have. And I'm like, yeah, but you spend more money in defense than any of our allies or other countries combined. And our soldiers are underpaid and going in without body armor. What the fuck are you spending this money on?
Yeah.
What I want to know, you're putting trillions of dollars into a defense budget. Where is that money going? If it's not going to give us, you know, soldiers and, you know, protect our soldiers, pay our soldiers well, what the fuck is that for? We need to take a serious look at this budget and stop it. Because
point some of that money, budget, more of that budget over to the fucking VA.
Yeah, no shit. And help people out, you know? I mean, I want targeted, like you say, I want targeted taxation. I want to be able to opt into things and say, I will pay extra for this if I can have it. Yeah.
That's the end of the show. We are at the end. What we're going to do now is pop over to Patreon and continue this conversation. Yes.
We've got Vikings. We've got Tinder. We've got DeSantis. We've got Herschel Walker. And we've got Naked Australians.
G'day.
G'day. That's what we'll be talking about in Patreon. If you want to join us over at Patreon, where we drop extra bits of the episode every week that we record, you can do it at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. We'd like for you to join our little squad. We're trying to turn it into a platoon. Platoon has more people than a squad. Just in case somebody didn't know that.
If you weren't aware of military structure.
Yeah. Parlance, if you will.
Military parlance.
Yeah. Every week that we record, we drop an extra bit of episode over there. We're going to do that now. In the meantime, I hope you guys have a happy Cyber Monday. Remember that we sell merch that you can give to your friends and family for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything else. You can get that over at theleftshow.com. And then over on the right-hand side, you'll see a little picture of a t-shirt. Click on the t-shirt. It'll take you over. New designs added. Whenever I have a spare 5 minutes, I'm supposed to be doing something else. including one I put up a couple days ago saying, ask me about my liberal agenda. So take a look at that. And I believe
I got to order another t-shirt.
Yeah. I think that the Spreadshirt, who does our merch for us, is having a Cyber Monday sale as well. So if you get this the day it drops, there should be some savings. Anyway, that's it. In the meantime, John, thank you very much. Taylor, you're very missed. And let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com, defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.